This is Generation Justice, a multiracial project that trains you to harness the power of community through media, narrative, and critical consciousness. I'm Elijah Cage.
And I'm Barbara Ramirez. We want to remind you that this program broadcasts from the rightful lands of the Tiwa people.
Tonight, we speak with the New Mexico Dream Team, co-director and co-founder Felipe Rodriguez and Itzayana Banda, communications manager. Share about the history of the organization, their policy work, and the Dignity Not Detention Act.
And we're excited to announce that Generation Justice is joining programming for KUNM's Spring Fundraiser. We bring you the voices of GJ members speaking about how important it is that a platform like KUNM exists to create spaces where we can share our voices with all of you.
Throughout the hour, please visit KUNM.org to make donation, which will help support GJ's impact at KUNM. You may also call 505-277-4483, leave a message, and a KUNM representative will call you back and take your donation. The number is 505-277-4483.
We start the hour with a message from GJ member Gianna Ramirez. After that, you'll hear from our very own executive director, Roberta Rael, and my co-host, Elijah Cage.
My name is Gianna Ramirez. I am 18 years old. I'm a senior at El Dorado High School, and I joined GJ over 4 years ago. I identify as Nueva Mexicana Chicana, and I'm also second-generation Mexican-American, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. I joined when I was 13 years old to find community and a place where I could really make a difference within my home of Albuquerque and connect with other people who not only had the similar interests as me, but just wanted to connect with each other. And so I have gotten so much out of these over 4 years with Generation Justice. I walked in as a super shy kid, and so my speaking skills and my confidence has just grown exponentially having to do radio. The skills that come with knowing and learning how to do radio, it takes a lot, but all of those things has just helped me to grow in so many different ways, whether that's speaking or just my confidence or knowing how to connect with other people, interviewing people. Radio has given me a lot of cool experiences, such as speaking and interviewing legislators or amazing community members who are doing awesome things. So overall, like doing live radio and pre-recorded radio during the pandemic helped me to stay connected and to just be involved in a really beautiful way to my community. Nowhere else have I seen youth have such trust and freedom to just do what they feel is important. Radio has been a way for, I think, everyone at GJ to really get involved and share our voices and interests in a really powerful way. So please consider donating to KUNM.org, where you can click the red button that says donate. By donating, you're supporting our own programming, but the radio as a whole, which centers public voice and all of our interests and the things happening in our community directly. So once again, you can go to KUNM.org and click the red button that says donate, or you can call 505-277-4483, where a KUNM member will have to get back to you, but they will call and that's how you can get your donation in. So thank you so much for considering donating and for listening in the first place, as you're supporting youth and supporting your community.
All right. It is awesome to be here this evening at the radio station with Barbara Ramirez and Elijah Cage. Hey, everyone. So wonderful to be here.
It's great to be here.
And yes, this is the first day of our spring pledge drive at KUNM. We are so excited. We really want all of you as listeners to go to KUNM.org and look for that big red donate button and help us make sure that There's so many contributions coming in this evening. And Elijah, why do you think people should support KUNM?
KUNM is once again harnessing the power of community. This spring, your contribution will support the programming you rely on and community members experiencing homelessness, all with one donation. We teamed up with the Independent Vehicle Service and HopeWorks.
Elijah, that's so amazing. So yes, KUNM every year has ways to also spread the love into the community. And Independent Vehicle Services has been a long time partner to KUNM for these pledge drives. But this year, I'm so excited because not only is the connection and the partnership with Independent Vehicle Services, but an amazing organization in our community called HopeWorks. And HopeWorks provides services to unhoused people. And Barbara, I know you and I have conversations all the time about what we see on our Albuquerque streets and people who are needing so much support. So I'd like for you to just talk to our listeners about why this is such a great opportunity. If you contribute tonight, how other people benefit.
Thank you so much, Roberta, for that background. I think that it's a great opportunity because you're not only contributing to this community radio station that serves us, but you're also contributing to HopeWorks by donating. So go to KUNM.org now and make a donation. It takes less than 5 minutes to donate today. I also want to talk about the KUNM sticker. If you donate $10 a month or $120 a year, you can get a 1978 vintage design sticker that is dishwasher safe, and it's just amazing. I'm looking at it right now, and I want one for my computer. So go to KUNM.org right now and make a donation. We pay for Spotify. We pay for Netflix. Why wouldn't we contribute to our community radio station?
Absolutely, Barbara. That's a really good point to make. So, Elijah, with young people up here at the radio station, how many other radio stations have you ever heard that really contribute to the development of young people?
Not many at all. It's something very rare you see, especially as a youth. It's not something you see a lot, especially in Albuquerque. So the opportunities that KUNM has provided to me and youth is something very, very gracious. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Elijah. So I think KUNM is a community radio station. And there have been many of us that have really embodied the values of community radio station. So we serve the community when we are up here at this studio. And we are here for the community. And we make sure that there are community voices on KUNM. It's one of the only radio stations of this type that's a public radio station that actually holds the values of community. So, you know, on Sundays, there's Singing Wire, there's the gospel show in the morning. On Saturdays, there's Raices, there's Women's Voices, there's so many other local programming. And of course, Sunday night is Generation Justice. But we are here as community members. And so this is one of the few radio stations in the entire country that really brings community voices. Not all the programs are piped in from the East Coast. We are here. We are in Albuquerque. We are on Tiwa land, and we are bringing in community voices. And that's the other reason why we want you to contribute tonight. Go to KUNM.org. Press that button. Look at the beautiful sticker that was designed in 1978 before the young people who are in the studio with me tonight were even born. And be a part of our KUNM family.
For the past 10 years, the New Mexico Dream Team has been advocating for the rights of our immigrants and undocumented brothers and sisters in New Mexico.
Tonight, we speak with their co-director and co-founder, Felipe Rodriguez, and Itzayana Banda, the communications manager. They share about their mission, their history with policy in New Mexico, and the dignity not detention legislation that sadly did not pass this year.
Here is Leader for Change fellow Brad Lewis speaking with Felipe and Itzayana.
This is Brad Lewis with Generation Justice, and I'm speaking with Felipe Rodriguez, co-founder and co-director for the New Mexico Dream Team, and Itzayana Banda, communications manager at the New Mexico Dream Team. Felipe and Itzayana, welcome to Generation Justice. Please tell us more about yourself. Let's start with you, Itzayana.
Hi, thank you for having us here. I am the communications manager here at the New Mexico Dream Team. I've been part of the New Mexico Dream Team for 2 or 3 years now, and I really like it. I was brought here to the United States at the age of 3, alongside with my sister and my mom. My dad was already here. So since I was 3, I've been here in Albuquerque, which I like it a lot. I have a daughter, and I'm doing this for her to show her that just because she shares with me what they're learning at school, and I'm like, no, that's not how things go, so I'm here for her. So she knows she has rights and what's good and what's bad, and a little bit more about me. My dad was deported in 2011. My daughter was just 2 or 3 months, and I think that's the main thing that impacted my life after my dad got deported. I live in like this shadow. I was really scared to say who I was. I didn't even want to go to school. I was scared to go to work. I remember I was working at McDonald's and I was just like really, really scared. And one day the New Mexico Dream Team invited me to work at the 2020 census, just as a canvasser. With COVID going on, we had to do phone banking. And I remember I would call them to see if they did their census, and they would be like, oh, you're immigration, and they would hang up on me. And that opened my eyes, and I was like, oh my God, that's how, like, I'm living. I'm that scared. Like, I don't even want to give my name because I feel like I'm going to get deported. So it's when I talked to my sister. My sister has been part of the New Mexico Dream Team for some time. She was like, Itza, you should work with us. You should join us and, like, learn more about your rights and what's, like, what the power you have. And that's how I ended up here in the New Mexico Dream Team, thanks to the 2020 census.
Thank you, Itzayana. Next is you, Felipe.
I'm Felipe, like you said, one of the co-directors of the Dream Team and also one of the co-founders of the organization. We started this organization 10 years ago after many college groups that were also led by young immigrants decided to collide and form this statewide network that now we know as the New Mexico Dream Team. Something really core to my identity is also my immigration story. I had to come to the United States in 2012 seeking security and safety, as well as a prosperous future for me and my family. Back then, I was finishing up high school and then got myself enrolled in the University of New Mexico, but very soon found myself facing a lot of the obstacles that undocumented people face in the U.S., like not having a stable income, not being able to access most educational resources and scholarships, and having a really hard time paying for tuition. And I joined what back then was the UNM Dream Team, again, one of the college groups that were organizing within the school. I found community for the first time after having immigrated and leaving all of my friends and most of my family back in my home country. But I also learned that it was because of a movement of young immigrants, I was actually able to access in-state tuition and the lower scholarship despite of my immigration status. And even though I was having a hard time, you know, paying for tuition, it would have been impossible without the work that all of those organizers put in to make our state the first state that allow undocumented residents to access institution and some of the state funding for college. That impacted me a lot and changed the way I was seeing the world. And so I decided to join the efforts of this group, which again, very soon became a statewide network that I started actually like working for and building my career in. 10 years after, we're celebrating our 10-year anniversary of the New Mexico Dream Team. The organization has grown exponentially. I am now in the co-leadership of the organization. And yeah, I love it. It's something very central to who I am.
Thank you, Felipe, for sharing your story with us. And I'm just so happy that you both are here in New Mexico and you are both in a better environment and found New Mexico Dream Team. Felipe, please share about the Dignity Not Detention Act and how long have you been working on this legislation?
We started working on the issue of private detention of immigrants probably sometime around 2017, 2018. That was when the first nonprofit legal service providers got access to represent people inside the detention center. For the first time, we learned what was actually going on inside those places. And we learned the history of abuse that people were facing, physical and mental abuse. And we also had a death of Roxana Hernandez, a trans woman that was detained in the Cibola Detention Center around that time. Her death was proved soon after that it was passed by the mistreatment of the people operating the center. And so we knew we had to do something about it. There was a, we did several direct actions calling ICE for this and also asking Congress to defund ICE, given that big part of those funds are going into open detention centers that are clearly putting our people in danger. And so, but it wasn't until, I think it was 2020, when we had the first piece of legislation that was modeled after other states that would ban the practice of private detention of immigrants in the state. At first, I think that first time that the legislation it was introduced, I don't think it made it past the first committee. It died really fast, and like no one heard about it. It wasn't an issue that people were talking about. Then with 2020, during COVID, the COVID lockdown, and then the rise of the movement for Black Lives Matter in that summer, and you know a lot of people having discourse about incarceration, detention, police brutality, and a lot of these issues that are like pretty much intertwined with the issue of private immigrant detention. We saw a possibility of you know getting more people involved in this issue, and the legislative session of 2021 introduced a bill that will also ban private immigrant detention. But it was the first time that we saw a lot more people getting behind this, even like groups outside of the typical immigrant rights groups. These were groups that were for prison reform and groups against police brutality that were understanding the issue and saw the connection and decided to also back this bill. However, the position was too big for that bill to pass, and since then we have introduced similar bills on the legislative session of 2022 and the last one of 2023 and 2024. And every legislative session, we have gotten a little closer to passing this bill, but it is a hard fight. The industry of private detention of immigrants has established really deep roots in the state of New Mexico and has created a, I call it a toxic relationship, but it's kind of like a fictional dependency that our counties now need the industry of detaining immigrants to be able to be economically stable. We have produced several documents and shared those with the New Mexico legislature that disprove that fictional dependency. And however, it's going to take a while to change people's minds to get this done. But yeah, that's kind of like the arc of how this issue has been evolving.
Thank you, Felipe, for sharing the evolution of the Dignity Not Detention Act and educating and highlighting to our listeners the lack of basic human rights in our state's immigration detention centers.
Can I add one really quick thing on that response?
Yes, of course.
Just that as this progression has been happening, the situation has gotten more critical every year. During the COVID lockdown with a massive spread of the disease in the populations that were in the detention center, and you know, a very big lack of healthcare and proper measures that will protect people. On 2022, we saw the tragic suicide of an asylum seeker that was detained in the facility that's in Torrance County. And so the suffering of the people inside continues while us outside, and especially the people in power, are making up their mind of when they're going to end this toxic relationship.
Thank you for that information, Felipe. Itziana, this question is for you. Why is the Dignity Not Detention Act important to you personally?
The Dignity Not Detention Act is important to me because my dad was detained in the Otero Processing Center, and it just changed my whole, it changed mine and my family's whole life. In 2011, almost really close to Christmas, my father got, he just got stopped, and he was placed in jail. Then my mom and I, we got a bond and everything was fixed. And I remember they told us that he was going to be out the next day in the morning. I remember my mom, my dad's friend, and I, we were there in the morning to pick him up. And I just remember the gates open, and then this van got in there, and my dad never came out. After that, my mom would call and she would ask for my dad, and they would be like, oh, he's out. And that was it. We had to wait some time. And then my dad called. He said he didn't know where he was at, but that he was in another jail. It was then when I noticed that we were actually like not welcome here in the United States. It's then when I noticed that my life was not going to be the same. I also got to see my mom go through like depression because my dad was the main person in my house. Everything just changed for us. It was really sad for me to see because my brother was 7 at that time. He was still little, and he would always be at the window waiting for my dad to get home. And our life had just changed. And that Christmas, we didn't have an actual Christmas. That Christmas, my dad couldn't even talk to us. He couldn't even call us. So I remember we didn't even celebrate Christmas. After that, my dad, like, he would call us a little bit more. And I noticed on his voice how his voice was changing. How every time he felt weaker, how every time he was just not the same man I had known. He would complain about his bones. He told us that they would feed him whenever they just wanted to feed him. For some time, my dad didn't even have shoes. And I remember he was talking to my sister, and then he was like, Fernanda, me dieron unos Vans. He thought they were Vans. The place where he was sleeping at wasn't even comfortable. His back was hurting all the time. He was not the same person. Our phone calls every time were like shorter. I would cry more. He would cry more. My mom was just, it was just something really bad. And it does affect your mental health, believe it or not. It does affect your mental health. And you just, I lived in fear for like a long time. I was like, I don't want people to know I'm undocumented. I don't want people to know who my dad is because it could affect him. And my dad was in there for 8 months. 8 months straight. My mom got a lawyer. The lawyer never showed up to court because my dad never had a court date.
when it was his turn to have court, they would just be like, oh, no, we're going to change it to this date. And we're going to change it to this date. So my dad's solution was just to, like, sign and get deported. And I remember I would be like, no, dad, like, don't sign those papers. Like, don't do it. Do it for us. Wait for us. Stay in there for us. Now I notice, like, that was really something selfish of me. Because I didn't know what he was going through. But me asking him to stay there because I thought he was going to get out. Now that I think it was really selfish. And it still hurts me because now that I get to hear these stories from other people and interview people that were in there, now I could see what my dad was actually living in there. And yeah, after 8 months, my dad was like, I can't anymore. I can't do this anymore. And he signed the papers. He actually signed the papers. And then I remember that we also had to wait some time for him to be able to call us because they didn't leave him like close to where my grandma lived. I don't even remember where they left him. And that was it. I didn't see my dad for, what was it? I want to say 10 years after that. And it's sad to see that my brother didn't grow up with my dad. My brother or my sister can't see my dad. That affected my family so much that my mom decided to go to another state. She thought she'll be safer in another state. And now my mom lives in Colorado, my brother lives in Colorado, and my dad's in Mexico. So this bill is so important to me just because I know how it feels firsthand to have a family member in there. I know how it affects the person that's going through it and how it just affected me. And I know a lot of people say it's like, oh, like, it's better for them to just be deported or this and that. It's not. It's not, because once you get to live it, it you're not the same person. And I have talked to my dad. My dad is one of the topics he doesn't touch. And I know my dad is still really scared because my brother's about to be 21. And we told my dad, oh, like, let's try to get you, like, your visa or something so you could come visit us. And he says no. He says he doesn't want to even do the process because he doesn't want to be placed in one of those. So it's sad for me to see that almost 12 years later, this is still happening to families. And it gets me so mad when, like, they see these stories. They hear what's going on in there. And they still don't want to do nothing about it. They still say that, oh, it's because what are we going to do? I don't know, find resources, something better. But they have to stop separating families. They have to stop putting people through this. I don't even know what words to use. But they have to stop. And they have to see that we're all humans and that families belong together. And the things they're doing in there, it's not healthy at all. It's not healthy at all. And like I said, it affected me and my family in the worst way ever.
I just want to thank you for being vulnerable and highlighting that, you know, this happened to your father, but it's not just affecting one person. It's affecting the whole family. And not just that, the community as well. You mentioned that people live in fear and you couldn't have a basic life because of the fears of being deported yourself or other family members. And sharing your story and advocating for others, it also speaks volumes, and I applaud your efforts. Felipe, this question is for you. We know that the bill did not pass legislation again this year. Share your analysis on this outcome.
To answer that, I would like to explain a little bit of how private detention works, how it's a very profitable business. The processing of immigrants that are, either seeking asylum or in deportation proceedings or whatever other proceeding is a task that belongs to the federal government. However, the federal government has decided to outsource a big part of this task to private corporations. These private corporations have built private immigrant detention centers where they do this processing. you can think of it as a hotel. So a hotel makes the most money when there's more people staying at the hotel and staying for longer. And so, you know, if you're a business, your fundamental mission is to maximize your profits. And the way you do that is by increasing how much money you bring in and decreasing your costs. The way a detention center will do that will be by increasing the amount of people that there is in the detention center and increasing how long they stay there, as well as reducing the cost maintenance and care of the people inside that oftentimes results in tragic results or tragic outcomes. If you think about it that way, then you can see how it's very much in the interest of these private companies to increase the detention of immigrants and increase how long they're detained. And so that is what happened in New Mexico. A lot of this corporation found very lucrative and secure business in New Mexico, not only because we're a border state, but also because we're one of the poorest states, unfortunately. We're a state that needs economic investment and needs jobs and you know, industries to come in, however we want the good industries, right? The corporations have been able to come to New Mexico, open a lot of the detention centers, and really establish their roots in the communities that they're present, and establish really deep relationships with elected officials and people in power in our government. Today, we have seen that it also didn't work here. We have seen that the conditions of people inside detention are terrible, are leading to deadly outcomes. And we have seen that things have also not gotten better for New Mexicans. Studies have shown that the facilities that we have in New Mexico have not increased jobs for New Mexicans. A lot of them actually have a lot of vacancies because, you know, they cannot recruit enough people to work there, because they also tend to have pretty, you know, not well compensated and not good jobs. And so the economic stability for New Mexicans and for the communities around detention centers has actually not improved.
Thank you, Felipe, for giving that analogy and noting that detention centers do not benefit local economy, and it's not benefiting anyone at all. So thank you. It's Ayana. I wanted to ask you, what is your message to the community about the next steps?
My message to the community is we're still going to be fighting. We're still going to be educating the people on what really is going on, what's happening in there, why these places are so harmful, why these places have to be banned and shut down. I just don't want stories like mine to continue happening. Like I said, it's sad to see that. When that happened to my dad, I thought that was it. I was like, okay, this happened, that's it. But then I started working at the New Mexico Dream Team, and I see there's many stories like mine, and that trauma just comes back, and just seeing my community suffer because of things like this, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because at the end of the day, we're all humans. We all deserve dignity. We all deserve the same things. And my message is, like, I always tell them, you're not alone. You're not alone. We're fighting to end this. And one day we'll do it. One day we'll do it, because it's more powerful when communities come together and we show them that these places are bad. These places should not exist, and that we have more power than just than what they think.
That's a great message, Itzayana. Felipe? Where can people find more information about the New Mexico Dream Team? And is there anything else you would like to add?
You can find information about the New Mexico Dream Team at nmdreamteam.org. That's our website. And there you can also find the handle to our social media channels if you want to stay up to date and get involved with the fight. We also have a general meeting in Albuquerque on the 22nd of this month. You can find the information for that in our, again, in our website and social media. The purpose of our general meetings, as we call them, is to welcome new members to the organization.
I just want to say that it speaks volumes, just your both of your stories and how you overcame them. And it just speaks highly of your character. And not only that, but you going back into those same challenges and helping other people. It just speaks volumes and it speaks to your character. And I just want to applaud both of you for your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you for this interview.
Thank you, everyone.
For Generation Justice, I am Brad Lewis.
Felipe and Itzayana, thank you so much for being with us today and for sharing your stories. The stories that we hear about the detention centers here in our state of New Mexico are devastating, and it's something that shouldn't be happening.
This next song was selected by our guests, Itzayana and Felipe. Here is Immigrants, We Get the Job Done by K-Nan, Snow the Product, Riz MC, and Residente. Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Look how far I come. We get the job done. Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Immigrants, we get the job done. Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Look how far I come. Immigrants, we get the job done. Not yet.
Not yet. And so where else are you going to hear the voices of New Mexico Dream Team talking about the important policy work that they do, along with just the important organizing that's going on? Where else are you going to hear songs like the one that we just played, Immigrants Get the Job Done? That truth that is being told, that is being sung, gets heard right here on KUNM. You're not going to hear that on your commercial radio stations. And so the service that we are providing to our community is a beautiful and important service. And so tonight we're here with you, and I am Roberta Rael, and we're here with you this evening, and we're asking you to give back a little bit. You know, it doesn't matter the amount that you give. It can be a couple of dollars. It can be less. You know, we would love just to have our community step up this evening during our 1 hour of radio to step together with us and let KUNM know how important all the interviews that we air, all of the music that we air is to you, our KUNM listeners. Now, if you are able to give more, we want you to give more too. And, you know, KUNM always is very reciprocal. So if you are able to give $15 a month contribution, you get the very historic, wonderful KUNM membership card. And the membership card, Elijah, a long time ago, that membership card only was really for restaurants. And now, in 2024, the membership card is for so much more. And so, what else is on that membership card, Elijah? If you can give $15 a month, what else will people be able to benefit from?
Some benefits include performances.
Performances.
Gardening.
Gardening.
Breweries and wineries.
Breweries.
Lodging.
Oh, lodging.
And even pets.
Pets. They're giving us pets? No, supposedly. I think it's probably pet services. Barbara, what do you think about this card?
I'm so excited because this is an amazing card that you can have. Just imagine going to a restaurant, you pull out your amazing KUNM membership card, and you get so many benefits.
Yes, I've been to restaurants, and when you pull out that card, the restaurant owners are also very happy because it's a whole community partnership that's happening with the KUNM cards. So if you are able to contribute a little bit more tonight, we would love for you to have these cards that also give pets. No, they don't give pets. They give pet services. Yeah. Elijah, how do people make that contribution?
Thank you for that question, Mr. Verda. People can visit KUNM.org and press the big red button that says Give Now.
Give Now. Barbarita, I am going to put you on the spot. Also, KUNM and Generation Justice and Singing Wire and many other local community air broadcasting here, we're not just English. And so, Barbara, I'm going to ask you, putting you on the spot, let's talk to our Spanish listening audience about contributing this evening.
Claro que sí, Roberta. KUNM es una estación de radio multilingüe. ¿Cuántos de ustedes escuchan canciones en español y en muchos otros idiomas, incluyendo idiomas de nuestras personas indígenas de aquí de Nuevo México, lo cual es algo muy importante? Para nuestros radioescucha que solamente hablan en español, vayan a kunm.org y hagan una contribución a esta estación de radio comunitaria que no es de una corporación, es del público.
Bárbara, that was beautiful. And yes, how much can people contribute this evening, Elijah?
Any amount that they're able.
Yes, any amount. Any amount. So I think we have some other young people that wanted to also encourage us to contribute this evening.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ariana Cordova. I am 20 years old. I'm a third year undergrad at UNM, and I've been a member of the Generation Justice family now for about 6 years. Radio has been such an amazing support to both myself and many other New Mexican youth, and this would not have been possible without the support of KUNM. Through GJ and KUNM, we have all had the opportunity to share our stories and really raise our voices to be heard. And the chance to reach our community through radio is something that I am extremely grateful for, and KUNM has really given me the chance to do that through GJ. So please consider visiting KUNM.org and clicking on the red Give Now button at the top of the page to make a donation, or you can dial 505-277-4483, and a KUNM representative will get back to you to take your donation. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Brad Lewis, and I'm 18 years old from the Pueblo of Acoma, and I'm a first-year Leader for Change Fellow with Generation Justice. I joined because I wanted to learn how to use my voice to advocate for others and make a difference in my state and local community. I have never heard young people on the radio sharing their thoughts or problems, nor have I heard many Indigenous voices. Thanks to Generation Justice and KUNM Radio, young people like me have a place right here on the air. Go to KUNM.org and click Donate. Thank you.
So yes, there you heard it by Brad and Adi. Go to KUNM.org, look for that big red Give Now button, and please, give now. Barbara and Elijah, what do we have next?
It is time for vaccine equity, everyone.
That's right. The CDC is recommending another round of vaccinations for people ages 65 and older this spring.
Elijah, why is it important to get vaccinated?
Vaccines reduce the risk of getting a disease by working with your body's natural defenses to build up protection. When you get a vaccine, your immune system responds. Vaccinations are one of the best ways to protect yourself from serious illness, hospitalization, and even death.
A recent study by the American Academy of Pediatrics demonstrated that up to 5.8 million kids have long COVID.
Long COVID is defined by the CDC as signs, symptoms, and conditions that continue or develop after a COVID-19 infection. If you or your loved one suspect you might be dealing with long COVID, notify your healthcare provider immediately.
That is very important information, Elisha. Even though there is no specific treatment for long COVID yet, you and your healthcare provider can work together to create a personal care plan to manage your symptoms and improve your quality of life.
The best way to protect yourself from long COVID is preventing COVID infection by vaccinating, washing your hands frequently, wearing a KN95 mask, and practicing social distancing.
If you're not currently updated with your vaccinations, visit vaccinenm.org and schedule an appointment. Again, the website to schedule an appointment is vaccinenm.org.
Tune in next week for more vaccine equity and COVID updates.
before we end our program tonight, we want to say happy St. Patrick's Day.
And Ramadan Mubarak.
And we want to remind you all that on this Sunday evening, March 17th, during the KUNM Pledge Drive, that KUNM is partnering with Independent Vehicle Services and Hope Works. And Hope Works provides really amazing services for unhoused people. There are not enough services, but this is an opportunity for you to give and keep giving. So we keep sharing the love. And when you give to KUNM, then you're also helping people who are unhoused in our communities across New Mexico. And it's giving the gift of hope through Hope Works. And we're grateful to the people over at Hope Works for what you do in our community. But we're also really grateful that you wanted to partner with KUNM during this pledge drive. And we all have to do our little bit. You know, the people who listen to KUNM, and definitely the people who volunteer here at KUNM, so many of them love this community and they're activists. They are engaged and involved in this community. This whole community of New Mexico, not just Albuquerque, because KUNM services all of New Mexico. If you are listening online or all of our other connecting ways all throughout more than half of New Mexico, we are the largest public radio station in the state. And so, Barbara, is there anything that you want to add about why you are still here involved with KUNM and Generation Justice?
Yes, Roberta, thank you so much. I have been part of Generation Justice for 6 years, and the main reason why I joined is because I wanted to do radio. We couldn't do radio if we didn't have KUNM and them offering us this window of time for young people to share voices, like many of our other young members have said. But also having access to professional radio studio equipment has been a blessing for me. I've been able to learn how to engineer and get certified at KUNM, and it's just been really amazing for me as a student of journalism who is about to graduate too.
Thank you, Barbara. In fact, Barbara was one of the youngest certified engineers here at KUNM. And that's a big deal because it's a lot of additional studying, a lot of additional effort gets put in. And I want to just, you know, remind our listeners that those of us that are producing radio here at KUNM, those of us that are broadcasting here at KUNM, it is a lot of work to do this. This doesn't just happen overnight. And the engineers really, really have to work hard at becoming an engineer. Elijah, I'm hoping that one day you'll become another certified engineer here. And we just keep on building here at KUNM. Elijah, why do you think people should contribute this evening?
Your contribution means a lot to youth. The opportunity that KUNM has provided me to find my identity is something that I doubt I would be able to find somewhere else. And the opportunities and the knowledge that KUNM has been offered to, has provided to me, has not only benefited me just for KUNM or for Generation Justice, but for also in school and everyday skills as well.
So we here at Generation Justice, we want to say thank you to KUNM, and we want to encourage you, our listeners, to contribute this evening. I think we have a couple more young people who want to share their voices, and then I think we're going to be wrapping it up. And right after us this evening, don't forget to stay tuned in to Spoken Word. We have the great maestro, Damian Flores, who is going to be on this evening with another amazing Spoken Word show.
Hello, my name is Sunandita Santanam, and I joined Generation Justice when I was 15 years old out of a need for a space to express my thoughts and engage in my community meaningfully. I've been given a platform and a space to cultivate my identity, innovate, express myself, explore my interests, and learn a variety of skills that have positively impacted me in every facet of my life. Before joining Generation Justice and being engaged with KUNM, I hadn't heard young people like myself on radio, let alone us having a space to express ourselves. And I think you should donate to KUNM because it allows organizations like ours to give a platform to young people, center them in conversations of justice and social reform, while creating community and engagement in education. Go to KUNM.org and click on the Give Now button at the top of the page. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ejen Rubalcaba. I'm 23 years old. My pronouns are he, him, él, and I am a Leaders for Change Fellow with the New Mexico Dream Team. The reason why I joined Generation Justice Radio Work with KUNM is because I want to amplify my voice as an undocumented student and help as many people in the same boat as I am. What I have gotten out of being part of Generation Justice at KUNM is newfound confidence and skills that I didn't know that I had. Please visit KUNM.org and click on the Give Now button at the top of the page. Thank you.